13, 1 through 8 today. I'm going to read that right off the bat. It says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. I've always been in love with having a real Christmas tree. As long as I lived in the house, my dad kept threatening that he was gonna get a fake tree. Okay. He was gonna get a fake tree, and I kept telling him every year, no, you're not. I said, we're going out to the Christmas tree farm and you're gonna get a real Christmas tree. So that happened about every year, because every year he would struggle with getting the Christmas tree up. So he was tired of it. It would fall over, it would tilt, it would be on the side, you know, it would lean. There was one Christmas I remember that we put a thumbtack in the one windowsill. We strung a string around the Christmas tree and put a thumbtack over in the other windowsill because he was tired of dealing with it, and so that was his way of keeping it upright. So he struggled and struggled, and finally, they come out with this new invention where they have a drill, and it drills the hole up into the trunk of the tree, and then you can just stick it down onto you get a special tree stand, and you can just stick it on there. So after that year, he finally found this, you know, that he was able to just do this, so he could come home, just stick the tree down, and he was done. So then he says to us, my mom and I, he says, well, guess what there is? He says, there's these Christmas trees that have really soft needles. Well, why didn't you tell us this before? You know, mom and I were decorating the tree, and all, you know, it was in there, ow, 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 you know, constantly, because it hurts. So he finally tells us there's these soft Christmas trees, and so we decide every year after that we're getting them. And so when I got married, that carried over into that. I said, well, we're getting the soft needle Christmas trees. I don't like those prickly things. So this year we took a fun train ride and we went out to a tree farm to pick out our tree. And I was just at the tail end of having bronchitis, and so my lungs were burning and on fire. And we get to the tree farm after the train ride, and we took a carriage ride down to the tree farm. And I, as we're coming down the tree, down the lane, I looked at Ryan and I said, do you see what I see? And he says, what's that? And I said, look at the mountain we have to climb. I mean, this thing was like straight up the hill. I'm like, I don't get you, my lungs can't handle it. I'm like, there is no way I'm going to get up this hill. So he's like, well, you know, we have to, because we have to get up this hill. And I was like, oh, okay. But he's like, we'll just stop when you need to stop. You know, if you need to take a breather, we'll just stop. So I'm climbing, and every, like, 5 feet, my lungs are screaming at me, like, hey, you're getting over bronchitis. You can't be climbing mountains like this. So every 5 steps, so we finally get to this point, and we're still straight up. We're a little bit higher, and I said, I just can't go any further. So the first one we come to was Douglas Fir. Now, they have a little soft needle. So I said, oh, we'll just get this one. I said, because I just can't. I think we were going for a Fraser Fir or something. I said, I can't go any further. I said, we just got to get a Douglas Fir. So we hang a left, and we go into there, and we're going down to look for the perfect tree. And we find the perfect tree, and or at least what we thought was. And so him and Ryder, they're down there trying to saw it off, and then they drug it down the hill. And, you know, we put on a train, we come home, we decorated it, and it was great, except for the fact that it was really big and fat. And it took up a lot of room in the house. But it was a perfect tree for a little while, right? It looked really good outside. So then we brought it home, and it lasted for about 2-3 weeks. About 2 weeks before Christmas, I touched it hard. And I said, this was not what I got. Now, some of you might be thinking that's probably because she forgot to water it, because most of you know that I forget to water things. But I will tell you that I was on him all the time that we needed to water it, because I'm afraid of the lights and stuff catching the tree on fire, because you always see that. So I'm on him all the time about, okay, we need to water this thing. So it had water. Okay, so I'm not lazy in water in that part. Flowers is a different story. So anyways, this tree, it's crispy and it's hard and it's just, I mean, you touch it and the needles crumble and fall off. There was needles all over our floor. We had to sweep them up all the time. Now, I don't know exactly the problem, because I could probably stand up here and tell you exactly the problem, but my guess was that our tree was dying because of the air from the coal stove. The environment was too harsh for it. It couldn't handle the dry air. Even though we had a humidifier that throws moisture into the air, it wasn't enough for our tree to survive. And so our tree, it was dying. It wasn't thriving. It wasn't living. It was dying, because how could it live when the environment around it wasn't right? Good. It tried to live, but it couldn't fight against the forces around it. Move to the next slide. What happens is trees eventually die for reasons, right? I mean, there's lots of things that diseases come along, or different things come along, and they eat away at the trees, or the tree just gets really old and it dies. Ryan could probably come up here and tell you many reasons that trees die, but we don't have all morning. But trees, they die for whatever reason. I mean, when springtime comes and life comes back to trees, right? I mean, we can tell which trees are actually dead because they have no life on them, right? They look like this tree. A lot of us this morning are like this tree. There are a lot of Christians this morning who think they are living, but they're really dead inside. Now, this tree, obviously, it's dead inside and outside. But you see, a lot of us are like my Christmas tree, where if you would stand back, it looks great. The tree was full, the needles were there. If I had swept around, you wouldn't even know that needles were falling off. Not until you came and physically touched my Christmas tree did you realize that my tree was dying. But if you would walk into my house, you'd be like, oh, that's such a beautiful tree. Yeah, it is. You want to take it with you? But you see, it would look beautiful. It would look great. It would look like a Christmas tree that you would see anywhere, right? But it wasn't. There was something wrong with it, that it was dying, and it was slowly dying, and had I left it there, it would have eventually died and turned brown. But you see, die on the inside a lot, don't we? You see, we feel empty or lonely or confused or whatever it might be. There's a longing within us, and we can't figure it out. And so we are like our Christmas tree, and we eventually die on the inside. And then what happens when we die on the inside? We eventually start to die on the outside. My Christmas tree eventually just couldn't withstand the air. We cannot withstand the atmosphere that we are in, and we give in to the atmosphere. We give in to the things around us. And we allow those things, whether it be emotional things, mental things, physical things, or just things that Satan may throw at you from time to time, we allow those things to take over and destroy us on the inside. There are Christians, and maybe there are you this morning, who on the outside you look like a Christian. Because you can play it up, right? I mean, you're like the Christmas tree. You can look good on the outside, but on the inside, there is something not right. There's something you're longing for. There's something that you feel dead inside. There's something that you have wilted about. God may seem like he is miles away from you right now. And maybe you question whether he is even there right now. Maybe you question if God has even had you in his life. Maybe you've left. Maybe you feel like God isn't even there. Well, let me tell you, in his word, God says that he's never going to leave you nor forsake you. Therefore, God has not left. Amen. Know that this morning. I don't care how you feel inside. Well, I do care, but I don't care how you feel inside. There is nowhere in Scripture that you can look and say that God has left you. As a matter of fact, the only thing you can do is look at Scripture and realize that God is for you. So do you know what the problem is? You've disconnected yourself from the nourishment. You see, we're going to move on to a different plant in my house. The Christmas cactus that I have had for a couple years now. And last year it did absolutely nothing. No blooms, nothing. So I was complaining about it one day, and Ryan says to me, he says, well, you know, you're supposed to give it fertilizer every other week. Well, why didn't you tell me that last year? I could have done that last year. It had blooms on it. So I said, all right, well, every other week now I give this thing fertilizer. See, I'm taking care of the cactus. So I give this thing fertilizer. You know what, this year at Thanksgiving, that thing bloomed beautifully. Now it's a Christmas cactus. I was expecting it to be at Christmas, but it came at Thanksgiving. But not only that, it's grown taller, and there's been all these little light leaves coming on there because it keeps growing and growing. Because it's finally getting the nourishment that it needs to grow. Do you see where I'm heading with this? You see, you and I, we sometimes disconnect ourselves from the nourishment that we need. And if we aren't getting the nourishment that we need, then guess what? We are disconnecting ourselves from the true vine, aren't we? You see, the roots in that tree, they're planted in the ground. And the ground is what gives it the nourishment. And if the nourishment isn't right for the tree, then the tree is going to die. Where are you rooted? Are your roots in the right spot for you to get the right nourishment? Jesus tells us in our scriptures today, he says, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You see, you have got to stay connected to the vine if you want your nourishment. And those that are hooking on to the nourishment, but you're not doing anything, you're cut off. You're not bearing fruit. Now, I'm not saying like you've got to go out and change the whole world unless God's calling you to that, but you have got to be doing something in your walk with Christ. You can't stay where you are. You can't stand back and say, well, I'll get to Jesus when I can get to Jesus. We've got to be bearing fruit constantly, don't we? Whatever it may look like for you, I have no idea, but God does. He has a plan for you, and he says, this is the fruit that you need to bear. Whatever it may be for you. See, when we are in the right environment, getting the right nourishment, then we thrive. But when we are in the wrong environment, getting the wrong nourishment, in the wrong state of mind, with the wrong attitude, the wrong crowd of friends, we're putting garbage into our minds, whether it be from books, TV, music, whatever it might be that you're putting garbage into your mind, then you're going to pollute the nourishment, aren't you? You're going to pollute what God is trying to tell you. God is your fertilizer. My Christmas cactus, it only needed fertilizer every other week. Now, if I just said that God's your fertilizer, do you think that that's what you need? Your fertilizer needs to be every day, right? Yeah. See, but if we follow the words of Jesus in John, and we believe that Jesus is the vine and that God is the gardener, then guess what we become when we stay connected to the source of nourishment? Go to the next slide. We become full and beautiful. We're not only alive on the outside, but we become alive on the inside. Things around my house don't last, or they seem to die. And we had a peach tree last year that started falling apart. And one of the branches broke off, and Ryan says, I said, well, I guess we should go out and take that branch off, even though I cried a little on the inside. Maybe on the outside, too. But he says, well, just leave it alone. He says, it's still connected partially to the tree. So it'll still get a little bit of nourishment that it needs to go to the peaches just for this time that it needs to get there. You see, sometimes we are only slightly connected to the vine, aren't we? To the point that we're only getting the little bit of nourishment that we need to get through to where we need to get through. When all you need to do is realize that you need to be fully connected to get the full nourishment that you need. You see, those peaches that broke on the branch, they didn't get to the point that they needed to get to. We eventually had to pick them and let them just ripen on their own. But that's because they weren't getting the full nourishment from the peach tree. See, when we're only getting half the nourishment, we're not getting what God wants us to have. We're not being fully alive in Christ if we are not getting our nourishment from the vine. We can't bloom like this if we are not getting our nourishment. Amen. Then the point is that we are in the right environment when we look like that. Verse 5, it tells us, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But isn't it so true? Remember back to when you didn't have Christ in your life? Crazy and wrong, weren't they? Then you get Christ in your life and you connect to the vine, the main source of what you need. You connect to him and all of a sudden life changes, doesn't it? It doesn't get easier per se, but guess what? When you've got all kinds of things going on, God says, I'm right here and I've got the answer for what you're facing. I've got the power that surges through you because now you're connected to me. And he goes on and he says, if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. When somebody cuts down a tree, is it any good anymore? You who have wood stoves, what do? You cut trees down. You cut them up into logs, and then what do? You throw them into the fire to burn them, because now that you've cut the tree down, they're no good, right? We don't have wood stoves, so we use them for campfires. You see, when we find the tree branches or twigs or things like that, what do people do in the forest when they're looking? They go and gather all of the twigs that are on the ground and they burn them. Why? Because they're dry, because they have fallen from the tree and they're no good anymore. We fall away from the vine and we do not remain in Jesus. Then we become like one of those twigs that are laying on the ground. We're useless. We're lost. We cannot bear fruit by ourselves. How many of you think you could bear fruit by yourself? If I stuck a tree and I just kind of laid it on the ground outside, would it bear any fruit for me? Well, of course it's not going to. Because it's not connected to anything, is it? There's no nourishment going into the tree. You see, you can't do anything apart from Jesus because you need your nourishment that comes into you. You need the power of God to surge through you, to fight your battles, to make sure you go away from temptation, to whatever it might be that God says, I'm here to give you the power for. Sometimes we're like my peach tree and we fall off the vine. Sometimes we completely fall off the vine. need to remain in Jesus Christ. You see, we starve ourselves a lot because we settle for water when we need fertilizer. We settle for a little bit of scripture when we need all of it. Amen. We settle for a little bit of Jesus when we need all of him. Yes. Can't settle for water when you need fertilizer for your nourishment. Satan is out to destroy you. You're on his radar because why? You are in church and you believe in Jesus Christ and you are going after Jesus and following his word. And so you are on the radar of Satan. What he wants to do is he wants to take you and destroy you and tear you down so that you are not getting the nourishment that you need. So that you are faltering around, so that you feel dead inside. And then eventually on the outside. He doesn't want life like this. He doesn't want you to bloom. He doesn't want you to bear fruit. He doesn't want you to do anything. But Jesus says, remain in me and you're going to go far, right? Remain in me and you will bear fruit. Because why? God is the gardener. If we hook to the vine, we don't only have the source of power. But then God the Father comes along and he says, you know what? That part of your life isn't so good. And so he prunes it out of your life. Who else is going to do that for you? You see, what happens is we go into the vine and we stay there, remain in Jesus and we remain in the vine. And then we have all of this power and all of this source that's running through us and we can battle and fight anything because of Jesus. And then God comes along and he says, you know what? You're suffering in that area. If you would just get rid of this, then you know this part might come a little bit better. Nobody else is going to prune you and you can't even prune yourself, can you? Not only do we have power, the Holy Spirit within us, but we've got a gardener who loves us and cares for us that he says, I want to get rid of the junk. I want to take off the dead things in your life that are dragging you down. I want you to be able to thrive like that. But we can't thrive like that if we've got junk in our lives. We can't thrive like that if we are only holding on just a little bit to the vine. We can't thrive like that if we go off the vine and on the vine and off and on. We've got to remain in Jesus Christ, don't we? Amen. Then we don't settle for water. We settle for fertilizer. Nourishment that we need. The food for our souls is right here. Your food. Are you hungry for it? Do you long for it? You see, if you're not reading your scriptures, then you're not getting the nourishment you need. And if you only, okay, well, let me read verse 5. Yep, looks good. I'm done. I read my scripture for the day. Is that enough to sustain you? Is that enough? What if I only gave my cactus just a tiny drop of fertilizer? Would that be enough for it? It's going to say, where's the rest of my fertilizer? I need more. There's no way that one tiny drop is good enough for my cactus. So why do we think that reading one tiny scripture is good enough for your soul? You've got to read daily. Now, I'm not telling you you've got to read 50 chapters unless you want to. You've got to make sure that you're giving God the time he needs. Not only to glorify him, because it says in verse 8, it says, this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So you, when you're following after God and you remain in the vine and you're attached and you're nourishing, you're not only giving God the glory, but you are showing the world that you are a disciple of Jesus. And then as you show the world that you are a disciple, you start believing and knowing within your hearts that you are a disciple of Jesus. And when you realize that, your whole world changes, doesn't it? So if you are a true branch, then you are a follower of Jesus Christ who lives in union with Jesus Christ. Now you may have the head knowledge today. Knowledge? Mm-hmm. That you are truly in the vine with Jesus Christ? Do you know within your heart that you are getting the nourishment that you need? Or are you kind of dead inside this morning for some reason? Maybe you've been dead inside for some reason and you're trying to fight your way out. This morning, all I can tell you is get closer to God.
Yes, amen.
Dead feeling will go away. It may not be overnight like that. Some it might be. Might take you a couple weeks, a couple days, a couple months to get back to feeling alive inside. But then again, it may be that you come and you fall on your knees before Christ wherever you are, here or at home or wherever. And you come and you fall on your knees and all of a sudden you may feel alive and well because you know that Jesus is your source of life.
Amen.
I want to ask you this morning, who is your source of life? Where are you getting your nourishment? Go to the third slide. Because if you're the one over there, then you're not doing what you need to do. If you're the one over there, you are not connected to God the way that you should be. If you're the one over there, then your nourishment is wrong. Whatever you're nourishing your body with, it's not right. And I'm not talking physical nourishment. I'm talking spiritual nourishment. Because it's wrong. But if you feel like this is you over there, then you're heading down the right path, but there's still more you can do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Plus, if this is you feeling over here and you're like, oh, I'm doing great, I'm nourishing, don't fall away.
Mm-hmm.
Every day you have got to remain on the vine. Every day you have got to read your scriptures and stay connected to God. Every day you've got to make sure that your source is God and the Bible. What do you want to do this morning? Do you want to bear fruit? Do you want to feel whole? Do you want to be connected to the vine continuously? Or do you want to continue to feel lost, confused, alone, afraid, and dead on the inside? Who do you want? These represent your life. So which one do you feel like this morning? In a moment, we're going to be singing, "It Is Well With My Soul." And I want you to really know this morning, is it truly well with my soul? Is my soul getting the nourishment that it needs? Is my soul connected to the vine and getting the nourishment, the fertilizer, the power, the love of Jesus that it needs? Or do I feel dead inside today? Is it not well with my soul? Because this morning, if it is not well with your soul, then you need to make it right. You need to find your nourishment. And it only begins by coming and crying out to Christ. This tree over here. That one. Because that one is where Satan wants you. He wants you dead, lost, lonely, confused, all of those. And this is where Christ wants you. He wants you alive and blooming and well.
Amen.
That's what he wants. So you need to figure out, where are you? Where are you this morning? Let's stand as we sing our last hymn.